This morning's reading comes from John, and it's chapter 15, and it's verses 1 to 8, and it's found on page 1022 of the Pew Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of our Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to be here with you this morning. We're back in the country for another whole day after today, and then set off very early Tuesday morning. Please do, any of you who can spare the time, come back with your coffee. I don't know if that's allowed, but into the church, and after the service, Mike will be presenting a short update more about our work. But let's turn to this passage now together, because over the last few months we've been at three regional retreats for workers in Central Asia, and it's been a wonderful time for us to learn from those who've been working there for a long time, learning from their experience, but also encouraging to be able to teach and share at those times. And at one retreat in Kyrgyzstan, the theme was bearing fruit in the midst of uncertainty. Uncertainty is an apt word for thinking about working in Central Asia. So this was our theme, bearing fruit in the midst of uncertainty. See, followers of Jesus in Central Asia are in a very, very small minority. And they experience daily opposition from family, from community, from colleagues, from neighbours and friends. Like this lady on the right, who we were with in June, Miriam decided to follow Jesus in her late teens. And her father decided to kill her. It was Ramadan, and the grandfather influenced the father that it was not a good idea to do such a thing during Ramadan. And Miriam was able to escape and hide. Today, she and her husband and her family are witnessing and discipling others. She is bearing fruit, and it's wonderful to meet believers like her. But you see, it struck me as I was in Central Asia and then coming here today that actually it makes no difference what our context is, that all disciples of Jesus are called to bear fruit. And so I thought, let's come this morning to this passage and ask that the Spirit of God will speak to us alongside our brothers and sisters in Central Asia, that whatever our context, we may be fruitful in the weeks ahead. So I want to ask three questions. What is the context of Jesus' teaching? Why does Jesus use this image of a vine? And what does remain or abide, what does that mean when we're to abide in the vine? So three questions. You'll be familiar with my style. Those are our signposts, aren't they, to help us to stay together. So let's think about this. You see, very often John 15, 1 to 8 is taken in isolation, often to teach about the spiritual disciplines. But these verses lie at a very, very significant point. They're at the very center of Jesus' last conversation with his disciples before going to the cross. In fact, chapters 13 to 17 of John have been described as coming in to the Holy of Holies. That's where we are this morning. The Holy of Holies, a most sacred time between Jesus and his disciples. See, in chapter 12, we know Jesus has made this public entry into Jerusalem. And at the end of chapter 12, he withdraws from the crowd to just be with his disciples, to be alone with them, a loving leader, giving an anxious community something clear and memorable for them to hold on to. Because this picture of the vine is a picture summary of what Jesus wants them to remember. In fact, he knew there were dangers ahead and he wanted to prepare them. And this picture would help to do that. And he says in chapter 16, verse 1, I've told you so that you will not go astray. And chapter 16, verse 33, I've told you so that in me you may have peace. He doesn't want them to be anxious and he doesn't want them to get lost. And this picture was part of the preparation for the dangers ahead. So it's a sacred time. It's a preparation time. But also this picture is a clear description of what life as disciples of Jesus means. See, just before in chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus has told the disciples clearly that his life is in the Father and the Father's life is in him. And then just after, in chapter 17, as he's praying, he says that he, in his prayer, that his life will be in the disciples in the same way as the Father's life is in him. So in the same way as the Son and Father are inseparable, so the vine illustrates that the life of a disciple is inseparable and intimately found in Jesus. So that's the first question, the context in this Holy of Holies to this sacred moment to prepare them and to give them a description of what it meant to be a disciple. But why the vine? Why does he use this image? Well, the vine was a well-known symbol of Israel. So in the scriptures, that's the Old Testament, that Jesus would have, and the disciples would have known as the scriptures, the Old Testament, the Psalms and the prophets, we see many examples of Israel being called the vine. For example, Psalm 80, the psalmist says that Israel was like a vine that was carried out of Egypt and planted carefully. And in the psalmist is crying because the vine has been cut down and burnt, and the psalmist is crying for salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, Israel is called a choice vine. Again, that idea of being chosen, of being special. But the prophet laments that this choice vine has turned into a corrupt and wild vine. And Isaiah, he sings his sermon. I don't know if any of your pastors sing their sermons to you, but Isaiah sings his prophecy about Israel being like a vine and a vineyard that was lovingly chosen and cared for, but only yielded bad grapes. So it's a symbol. A vine was a well-known symbol of Israel. And here is Jesus saying, I am the true vine. I am the one chosen. You see, Israel was chosen, and she was chosen, dearly loved, in order to be a blessing and a witness to the nations. She was to bring the nations to Yahweh. She was to be fruitful as a vine. And Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. I am the Messiah. I am the perfect Israel. I am the perfect Israelite. I am the one who will do what God has called Israel to do. Jesus is the true vine. And the true vine includes all those who are grafted into Jesus. So as well as being a national emblem, it was also a symbol that was all around them. I learned some interesting things as I looked this up, but apparently in the Maccabean revolt, coins were minted with the vine, a sort of national symbol on their coins. And on the temple gate, Josephus tells us this, that the temple gates were completely overlaid with gold, as was the whole wall around it. It had, moreover, above it, those golden vines from which descended grape clusters as tall as a man. So they would have seen this vine, perhaps even walked past it on the way to the garden that night. A symbol that was everywhere and well known. And Jesus takes that symbol and transforms it with the new meaning. I am the true vine. So that's why the symbol. But the third question, what does abiding in the vine mean? We hear it, we know the verse. But what does that actually mean? Because John records 8 times in 8 verses that word, to abide or to remain. So it's important. So what? What does it mean? What does it look like? Well, I want to briefly suggest 4 things that abiding in the vine means. And the first is its plain meaning. Because the word abide, sometimes translated remain, simply means to stay in one place for a long time, doesn't it? That's the plain meaning of abide. And so abiding in the vine means staying there. It means a continuous, not giving up on Jesus way of living. It means not being distracted from Jesus. It means not being partly identified as a believer in Jesus and partly being identified as something else. See, abiding means to stay in one place with one identity for a long time. And disciples of Jesus are to remain at all times and in all situations inseparably joined to Christ. They choose to extravagantly abide with him. How? How do we do that? By letting our life be lavishly filled. And I mean that word, lavishly filled, with his word and his spirit. And how encouraging that Jesus promises 3 times in these verses, I will abide in you. Verse 4, 5, and 7. So we're to open our hearts, our will, our mind, our soul, our strength, and And let the word of God dwell in us richly. Read it. Listen to it. Think about it. Memorize it. Talk about it. Share it. Allow the Spirit of God to be poured into our hearts, as it says in Romans 5:5, to direct our attitudes, decisions and vision. So what stops us? We probably, most of us, 90%, 5% of us in here would say, yes, 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 we agree. So what stops us? Many things, many things. Busyness is probably a great enemy to lavishly, extravagantly abiding. And it's sobering, isn't it, that we tend to find time for the things that are important to us. But I think sometimes for me, it's this. It's a lack of appetite. We can try all kinds of motivations to get children to eat, but it's hard to get anything in them when they say, I'm not hungry. And sometimes we need to ask God to make us hungry. Make me hungry and thirsty so that we will want to abide. Also, unconfessed sin. Anything that we are harbouring in our lives. Attitudes, thoughts. Those things that are unconfessed. Those parts of our life which we haven't actually yielded to God. We're boss of. Those places where we are not able to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We need to ask God to reveal any barriers that we may have that prevent us from extravagantly abiding in Christ. But secondly, I think abiding means to grow. See, our spiritual union with Christ is a living connection. And a long time ago, in a former life, I was a biology teacher. We taught the characteristics of living things. And growth is one of the characteristics of living things. So abiding in Jesus is a growing way of life. As we abide, so we become more and more fully fruitful disciples. It doesn't matter whether we've been abiding for 2 years, 10 years, or 50 years. There's more growth that God has for each of us. And I wondered, what fruit is God wanting to grow in you in this season in your life? What person or people does God want you to be a witness to this week? See, growing means obedience. And there's no way to grow as a disciple without greater obedience to all that Jesus has commanded. So abiding means to remain in one place. It means to grow. But also, thirdly, it means to embrace suffering. Did you notice, as we heard the reading, that the vine dresser has different kinds of tasks to promote fruit on his vine? Verse 2, he cuts away and he prunes. And I put in, especially for Jeff, who's sitting in the front here, that there's a play on words in the Greek, which he's probably very familiar with. But the way John writes this is clever. He's saying that the vine dresser both cuts away, but he also cuts back or prunes or cleans, if you like, the vine. Now, remember, just before giving this picture, what had happened, Judas had just left. And he never was reconnected to Jesus. A branch that was cut off from the vine. But branches that remain in the vine are going to be pruned. Pruning is not optional. And the nature of that pruning may be all kinds of trials and temptations, different kinds of testing. It may be removing activities and even removing ministries from us in order that the life of Christ may flow through us into new fruit. So abiding in Christ means embracing the life of Christ, and that means embracing the incarnation. A few days later, Jesus would say to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Abiding in Christ means embracing the cross, dying to self, living for Christ. And it means loving Jesus, however costly that is. When Jesus sent out his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he says these words. He says, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Miriam, whose picture we've seen this morning, what an example and testimony she is to us. You see, abiding means to remain, to grow, to suffer, and very fine, quickly and finally, abiding is the source and fruit of mission. Nick Brogdon has been a missionary among Muslims in North Africa and the Middle East for decades. And he took time away from ministry to reflect over the centuries who has had the greatest impact for Christ in those contexts. And his conclusion is a book called Abiding Mission. And in his book, he comes to the conclusion that it's not those who had the best plans and strategies. It's not those who had the best finances. But it was those who deeply lived out Jesus' command to abide in me. And he concludes that the only way to produce disciples is to lavish extravagant daily time on Jesus. It's out of time spent with Jesus, being filled with his grace, with his wisdom, with his power, that we are going to reach those we long to with the good news. And so the fruitful vine has a strong mission theme, as one writer puts it. The indwelling of God with his people is not a call to settle down and be comfortable and forget the rest of the world. It's a summons to mission. And as we think about our world today, we should be distressed that a third, some people put it at more than a third of our world, that's more than 2 billion people, have little or no access at all to the good news of Jesus. And tragically, only 3% of international cross-cultural missionaries are actually serving in this third of the world. And all those places are included in, I mean, there's more than Central Asia, but Central Asia, all the countries of Central Asia are included in that third. See, the reality is that the places today where the church does not exist are harsh, fierce, lonely, demanding, and yet we must still go there. And I am, and we are so thankful that this church is standing with us as we serve in this part of the world. So as we finish, what's the fruit for? It's for the glory of the vine dresser. It's for the gardener. It's for the Father. That's what it's all for. So the way to give God glory this week, with your life, with my life, is to set aside lavish time with him. And from this, he will work in you and through you to touch others for his glory. He will. He will do it. It's his promise. As we close, I'm not going to answer this question, but it's a question to take away. What's God saying? What's God saying to you today? Are there things that stop you abiding? Are there places in the world that you need to be concerned about? Pray with others. Abiding isn't only an individual thing, it's a corporate thing as well. Pray with others. What's the next step? That together we will glorify our Father in heaven. Amen.